This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dottiglia along with Jeff Palermo. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Talk a little football. They got great food, drink specials here. Also, if you want to watch all the games, you can come in here. You're surrounded by – they got games playing all over. So, man, I think about my old friend, Buddy DiLiberto. Man, he would be in hog heaven to see all this, all around him to see all these games. Keeping up with, you know, just in case he had a nickel or two on a game. Occasionally that did happen. Also, too, if you need catering service for – if it's a holiday season, you don't want to cook, or for Tiger games, hey, give them a call here at Acme Oyster House. Ask for Jason, and Jason will be able to take care of that for you. I also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Matt Construction. Matt built, build beyond. Jeff, one thing we always had praised the LSU's offensive line about,
yeah,
they were good at pass blocking, except for last week when they played Florida. And, man, Florida exploited that. Some of that was Garrett holding on to the football maybe a little bit too long. But, okay, now you're going up against a Clark Lee defense. Clark coached for Brian Kelly.
Yeah, right.
At Notre Dame, where he was, I think, the linebacker coach. Then he became the defensive coordinator.
Three years, defensive coordinator.
And so he sort of knows what Brian, I think, wants to do offensively. LSU can't have no leakage. They got to be able to protect Nussmeier if they have any chance to win this game.
How surprised are you by DJ Chester and just the season? You thought it was going to be plug and play.
But, man, he has struggled. And he's thinking too much, I can tell. He's overreacting or not reacting at all. It's either one of the two. And he's never played the position. I talked to him in the summer. He said never really played it. But he said, I picked it up well in practice. Goes to show, practice ain't playing.
Right. So what was he playing before, guard?
He played guard. He played some tackle.
Okay.
And then, you know, all of a sudden you lose Dellinger, and now you got a true freshman playing alongside of him. You saw a couple times, Jeff, that was a whole – nobody was blocking no one.
Right.
You know, I think Paul missed a couple of them. But, man, DJ has struggled at a position where – you cannot be below average, and he is below average this year.
No, and this is where the transfer portal comes back to hurt you sometimes because, like, before we had the open transfer portal, because if Dellinger gets hurt, let's go pre-transfer portal, right? Dellinger gets hurt, well, you put in Marlon Martinez in there.
Yep.
And Marlon Martinez has been around the program. He's a more veteran guy. But he's now at Mississippi State because of the transfer portal. So instead,
and that Hurd guy too, huh?
Yeah, Spencer Hurd. Spencer Hurd's at Tennessee because he didn't want to sit around and wait for Will Campbell to. I mean, that's where the transfer where it makes it very difficult for programs to build depth. I mean, I think that's what, you know, Alabama during the last couple of years of Nick Saban's time there, they just didn't have the depth that they normally do. But that being said, Paul Mbenga has really struggled at that position,
I can expect that from an 18-year-old true freshman.
I don't think a lot has been enough. Maybe has been said that when Dellinger goes down with the ankle injury against Texas A&M, this team just hasn't been the same offensively.
No, they haven't.
I mean, I don't know if he was the glue holding it all together, because you're still looking at a veteran offensive line with two bookend tackles, and you know, then Miles Frazier gets banged up last week, and then you got to put Tyree Adams, who's fresh off of having hernia surgery. I mean, it was just a miserable situation for them last week to have the interior of the line like that, and it just doesn't help that DJ Chester, it's been a slow development for him at the center position.
Yeah, even in talking to him in the summer, he seemed confident.
Yeah.
But you almost got the feeling, man, I'm going to have some good and some bad.
Right.
It's been more bad than it has been good. But to let a free guy come in, okay, that's your call.
Right.
You're the center.
Yeah.
You got to communicate with the guards and tackles if they have a blitzing guy. Okay, you missed your own call.
Yeah.
Because those guys are coming in free at your quarterback.
But this is what also happens when things are going badly, right? Because we were – LSU goes into that game, they've only allowed 6 sacks all season long, right?
Right.
And you're always sitting there saying, well, at least you can rely on their you can only rely on their pass protection. But when things start unraveling, it's like, uh-oh, here's another leak that just all of a sudden erupted on us. Now our quarterback gets sacked 7 times in a game, doubles what they had before. I mean, that's just how it's going for this program, like where you think, okay, we can at least rely on this, and then that falls apart on you.
The other thing, too, is you're dealing with a running back, and I give him a lot of credit. Caden Durham, he's got 2 dislocated toes. And, man, he's been money. And you talk about a guy who's a tough guy. Dislocate your toes and try to walk. And I'm not talking about running away from people. I'm talking about walking. It is a chore, and – it's almost like he's missing that one step that would break him away from the pack, like we saw earlier in the year.
Well, and Brian Kelly was talking. I think Brian Kelly finally kind of came to his defense this week, saying, hey, look, this guy, they made a special spike, or, you know, special shoe for him with a plate in there because of his dislocated toes. And so he just doesn't have that burst that we saw in South Carolina. And everybody started falling in love with the guy, and Caleb Jackson hasn't been the guy. And Brian Kelly kind of came to his defense this week as well, saying, hey, he's someone that didn't play much at Liberty. He was a soccer guy, and then all of a sudden started taking up football. And just because he ran over a couple guys last year doesn't mean he's going to become an all-SEC running back this year. But and then Josh Williams is, you know, Josh Williams is Josh Williams. Yeah. He's a nice guy to have around, but he's not going to be you can't – he's not going to – he's not going to bust one out for 60, 70 yards on you. So it's been a struggle there because the running back room is not as good as – and the injury to John Emery hurts. You would love to see a veteran running back like that has the ability to make some plays, who can catch the ball, who can block. That was a tough injury for this team to absorb.
And also, too, John can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He was really good with that. But I told him in the summer, he came to a couple of our camps, and I was like, he's telling me, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna be ready for the start of the season. I'm like, what? Yeah, ACL, sir, you ain't going to be ready till October. He said, oh, no. He said, I'm going to be ready. And so I told him, listen, man, I'm pulling for you, John. Man, I've always been a fan of yours, but I'm going to give you one advice. Don't put the ball on the ground, because you're going to be watching. You're not going to be playing. And that one game against SC, he showed some burst, and some big play ability. I saw him so many times at Destrehan,
right,
and he was a tilt-the-field runner there. It's just been one set of series of injuries after another with John.
No, and let's see. Next year, maybe the criminal situation or the court, I guess criminal situation, you could say that. Trey Holly, that gets cleared up. Maybe
they got the two freshmen.
And then you got JT Lindsey, who I got a chance to see a couple weeks ago play for Alexandria Senior High. He's really good. He's kind of a glider out there. And then Harlan Berry is just it's kind of hard to judge him. Mike, I know he's got all the tools. I mean, the
he's
fast
awfully,
twitch.
He's awfully thin, isn't he?
He's thin, but yeah. and the competition he's playing against, it's just not – it's hard. It's hard to judge. Now, when he gets going, he's fast. He's got the moves. But whether that really equates to – I think next year for him, just because of the level of competition he played this year, I don't know how much you really can expect out of him next year. I mean, Durham's going to be the guy next season when you look at it, and I think they'll probably go in the transfer portal and look for somebody there as well.
I talked to Deuce about Berry, and he was like, Mike, I think he's the McCoy. But he said, first year, I would try to get him out, more of wide-pitch stuff and also throw him the ball coming out of the backfield where you can use that speed and that ability to get away from people. So if you try to bang him inside, that's not going to work
because
of his build at this stage.
Yeah, and then there's one other guy that we're kind of forgetting about here is and they'll try to figure it out in the offseason exactly how to use him, is Juwan Johnson. I mean, this kid was electric at Lafayette Christian with the ball in his hands as a quarterback.
I'd have never put him in the secondary.
Yeah.
I never. He played running back or wide receiver for me.
Yeah, and even Brian Kelly said in the spring, it's a predicament because they don't know exactly how to use him. Now, I've seen some social media posts from people saying, oh, hey, Bryce Underwood's gone, just put Juwan Johnson as the quarterback. Juwan Johnson's got this really funky delivery when he throws the football. So I don't know if that's really going to work on the college football level, and he's not the tallest guy. So I don't think that's the answer as far as here's your replacement because Bryce Underwood's not coming to LSU anymore. But, again, he was electric at Lafayette Christian with the ball in his hands. So figure it out. Whether you want him as a slot receiver, whether you want him as a running back, they'll have time in the offseason to really figure that out.
I want him to touch the football on offense.
Yeah.
This defense stuff, I'd scrap that. I'm going to find me another defensive player. I know what he can do as an offensive player, and he's electrifying as a runner and a receiver. And I'd sort of use him both ways as a backup halfback and use him in the slot as a receiver.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of him here the last 2 weeks.
I would. What do you have to lose at this
stage?
I
think he's a I don't know if you want to call him an X factor. That might be a little bit too strong of a statement. But he's a guy that you got to unlock the code on, right? And figure out the best way to use him because he is very good with the football in his hands.
And a lot of people call him, man, what's happened to Whit Weeks? He's like he's almost in the witness protection program for 2 weeks. No, man, Whit had that run, and, man, he looked to be a dominant player. Now, what I watch with him, he's trying to do too much on every play. And he's yanking himself out of position, or he'll overrun the play completely. You got to play more disciplined. And I think that's what got him to this point. And then I think, he started to want to freelance a little bit at the linebacker spot.
I was wondering, Mike, if there is, and he hasn't showed up on any of the injury reports, but I'm wondering if there is something bothering him because he doesn't even look like he is as fast as he once was. So I'm wondering if there is something that's slowing, because to me what made him successful was his speed. I mean, he was all over the football field, and now you barely, when I was thinking back to the Florida game and even the Alabama game, and I was looking at the final statistics, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh yeah, Whit Weeks was in the game. I forget. He didn't even know he was out there.
And what I saw in him early, he had such great instincts for the ball.
Right.
Now you don't even see that.
Yeah.
And so you overrunning plays and stuff like that, maybe a combination of both.
Well, and I think, again, this is one of the problems with this defense all season long is that you've had guys trying to make up for other guys' mistakes.
Correct.
And when this defense did kind of lock in there for a little bit against Ole Miss and against Arkansas, they were all doing their own responsibilities. And then all of a sudden they have gotten back away from that. I don't know what, you know, in the first half of the Texas A&M game, how good they were. And then when Marcel Reed got in there and he started busting off all those long runs, then they went back to their old ways of trying to, okay, I'm going to do my thing, but I got to also worry about what the guy to the left or the right of me is doing, and they're not being, what's that phrase, they got to be one of 11. They're not doing that anymore. And tonight, I mean, Brian Kelly mentioned it on Monday. It was one of the first things he said. We got to play assignment football tonight. And for a team that's having trouble playing assignment football, again, that's why this is just a bad matchup for LSU, considering where they're at in their season and their psyche and all that.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup for them. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I'd like to take you along with Jeff Palermo at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. When we come back, we'll have on with us Wesley Tate, former Vanderbilt running back, wide receiver, and also he's involved with the Vanderbilt West End Report on the Believe Podcast Network. We'll have that and more right after this break here on the Big 870 WWE.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I'd like to tell you, along with Jeff Palermo, we're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials, and watch all the games. They're up on all the screens all around. And so if you don't have plans tonight, come on here. You can watch the LSU game. Get a great meal here at Acme. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Now it's time for our Inside the Tiger Den segment. brought to you by Gove Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team, Gove Tax Go. And on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, former Vanderbilt running back, wide receiver, and host of the Vanderbilt West End Report on the Believe Network, Wesley Tate. Wesley, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Honored to be on the show, so thanks for having me.
Wesley, before the season started, I think a lot of LSU fans, man, they put that big W next to this game. And Jeff and Palermo and I were talking, right now, you better put that in pencil. Because, man, LSU isn't playing well. And the one thing I do give Vanderbilt, they are a scrappy bunch, and they don't turn the ball over. And LSU, man, they've had difficulties, you name it, and it sort of has broke down for them. How surprised are you with this season with Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the outside looking in, you know, I mean, most people, you know, in the SEC probably mark Vanderbilt as a, you know, an easy win just based off past history and whatnot. But, you know, if you kind of paid attention and you looked at Vanderbilt's roster, I mean, if you look at it, we got 50-plus new guys on the team, right? So, I mean, it's a completely new team than it was last year. I mean, it's really completely a 360 of a team. So I just didn't really know what to expect. I know it was a lot of rumblings and talks about, you know, the quarterback, you know, Diego Pavi that we have, and, you know, the creative offensive coordinator and staff that we brought in to kind of, you know, switch up our offense. So I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, to be honest, my prediction, I felt like if we were able to kind of get a 6-6 season and be able to kind of go to a bowl game, I would mark that as a success. But, I mean, to be able to kind of do the things we've been able to do this year is just truly amazing. And, I mean, if you – besides the South Carolina game, I mean, we're a handful of plays from, you know, being right now from being, you know, what is it, you know, what is it, 9-1, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's just been a great season so far, looking at, you know, what we've done so far.
Pave's, man, he's a great story. He's a street fighter. He's going to give you stuff, man, and he's double tough as a runner. Now, the ball sort of comes out funky the way he throws it, and sometimes doesn't come out well. He reminds me of a guy that played with the Saints and with the old Washington Redskins, Billy Kilmer, a similar type guy and similar type player. And, you know, he'll fight you to the death if he's got to. He's been the straw that turns the drink for this football team, correct?
Oh yeah, definitely. He's been that. He's been a center for sure, and the guy that brings the energy.
Other than Diego, what is it about this team that has made this surprise run here through the SEC? I mean, it can't just all be a one man show.
No, you're right, and I think you know. Offensively, I'm an offensive guy, so I more so look on the offense a lot of times. But, I mean, our offensive line has really played a pretty outstanding season. I mean, just looking from last year to this year, I mean, the offensive line has made a complete change. I mean, they're playing really good ball. We brought in some guys that on that front five that's being able to get it done. And then also, I mean, another guy that's, you know, he's getting a lot of recognition as well in the offense is Eli Stowers, our tight end. I mean, that guy can make plays from all over the place. And, you know, I definitely think, you know, but definitely up front, those front six guys have definitely made a big impact for us and able to give our offense an opportunity to kind of do the things we've been able to do.
Man, Clark Lee, I mean, I know the coaches that most likely will win it, other than him, but he's the SEC coach of the year in my eyes.
Napier's giving him a run now.
Well, the way Billy started, he might have almost eliminated himself then. But, man, Clark has just done a fantastic job. What's been the key to his success, Wesley? As a former player, you can see there are certain traits in a head coach of his ability to relate to players and motivate players. But what's been the key with him?
Yeah, I think the key with Coach Lee is definitely getting guys in the locker room and on the team that want to be a part and want to buy into the vision, right? I mean, it's taking some time to kind of get here. And, you know, with today's college athletic and sports, I mean, you can kind of come to the school for a year, and if it's not going your way, then you can leave, right? And we've seen that quite a bit with a lot of key guys that have been on this roster. But the guys who are in the locker room at Vanderbilt, they want to be there. They're bought into the vision. And, you know, obviously we can see, you know, with the success that we've had this year. So just really just having buy-in from everybody involved and knowing that, hey, this is a great opportunity to play at a high level at a great university. So we just got the right guys in that room, and you know, we're playing really well to our personnel, and you know, our scheme is playing well to our personnel. So
you brought up the tight end, and he's a big play guy, and he got a chance to play at the next level. Is there a player when you look at if they're going to hit a big play downfield? He's the guy to watch.
Yeah, I definitely think Quincy Skinner. I mean, he's had a couple big chunk plays and for us this season, and I think he's probably our number one big play guy. But you know, we've had guys kind of pop in and you know make plays for us throughout the season. So definitely look forward to kind of Quincy Skinner coming in and making those big plays, because we definitely need some big plays down the field. Another guy to be looking out for is Junior Sorrell, number zero receiver from Nashville. I mean, he's made some good plays as well. And just, I mean, like I say, Eli Stowers, I mean, that guy's made, you know, our short plays, but also made the long plays as well. So just a handful of guys to definitely look forward to you know, giving us a little some plays down the field.
I'm expecting a close game tonight, and I was surprised when I was looking, Wesley, when I was looking at Vanderbilt's stats, and I was looking at, and we don't ask too many questions about kickers, but I was looking at Brock Taylor, and this dude has made 5 field goals of 50 yards or more. I don't think I've ever seen a college kicker have 5 field goals of 50 yards or more. Now, I know he missed the kick against Missouri in double overtime to I don't want to say cost him a game, but it was a big play, obviously. But tell me about him. I mean, he's made as long as 57, and considering LSU struggles to score touchdowns,
it may come down to that.
I think it's gonna, you know, it could be a Damian Ramos, Brock Taylor kind of game where both teams are kicking field goals and who's ever most. But six or 5 field goals over 50 or more—that's a lot for a college kicker.
Yeah, now Brock Taylor he's got a leg, and I mean he's been able to time and time again come through for us. I mean that Missouri game was pretty unfortunate, you know, because I mean I think in that game he made another 50 yarder early in that game to you know, and then for him to miss that one in Missouri, that was a tough miss. But I mean, yeah, that's another thing that kind of contributes to our success. I mean, on the special teams perspective, from kicking and punting, I mean I don't know if we have a better duo in the country than our punter and our kicker. So, Brock Taylor is definitely is going to play a big part in this game, because, you know, I'm not sure how if we'll come out as, you know, as fast as we have early in the season, just with like the injuries and later in the season. So, you know, but Brock Taylor is definitely a guy that you can depend on for sure.
Wesley, I know that former punter for y'all, I know where he's at right now.
Which one?
He's with the Saints.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, no. And you got another guy down there, too. I forgot. You got a linebacker. I forgot his name.
Yeah, RG. Anthony RG. Yeah. he's here, too. But, yeah, man, he kind of knocked out the veteran to grab the job here. My coverage on the punts and kicks, how has that went? Jeff and I, along with Herb Tyler, when he doing the show also, we've seen LSU come real close to breaking a punt return with Thomas. So how has been the coverage units for the Commodores?
You know, they've been, I mean, pretty good. You know, I mean, and it starts off up front, right, protecting the punter, but, I mean, you know, I don't know if you know much about, but our punter Jesse Micro, I mean, this guy has been, I mean, probably top 5 punter in the NCAA this year, and just and kid's got a leg on him. And he's won SEC Special Teams Player of the Week, I think once or twice. And you know, he's against Auburn, he averaged, you know, 53 yards per punt. You know, which is, I mean, for your defense, that's definitely an, you know, chance to turn the field over and being the opponent's side of the field. But yeah, I mean, from a coverage perspective, we've been pretty good so far this year, and obviously our punter is able to kind of set us up for success there.
What was the mood, you know, the day after or 2 days after? Because man, it was a big story. Man, you guys upsetting Alabama. Because you talk about a shocker of shockers. That was it. And how they sort of dominated the fourth quarter against Alabama. So what was the mood of the fans there to see this happen? Because no one could have predicted that particular how the outcome would go, would bail out. But, man, that had to be heady times.
I was on a high for about a whole week to the next week. And, I live in California, so I do my podcast remotely. But, I still have teammates that live in the area. My family was still there. I'm from Nashville. So, I mean, I got calls and texts from everybody and people I hadn't talked to in years. And, you know, it was just a great feeling and a high, you know, just because it's been so long and our guys, you know, have worked so hard, the guys who stuck it out there and have had to go through like the 2-win seasons, 3-win seasons, and just had to go through so much, and just to kind of come out with that outcome, it's just amazing feeling. I'm just, you know, proud of our guys for going out and doing that, and the staff as well, because I know Coach Lee and they work extremely hard to get our guys ready and stuff. So great for the city of Nashville as well.
Wesley, when you look at it, Tennessee, they've got some players in the state, but Coach Lee has been able to spread the tentacles to go outside the state of Tennessee to recruit. And again, you got certain academic standards you got to hit there also at Vanderbilt. So how has the recruiting been? Because I know when you have a signature win like an Alabama game, you can sell that to a 17, 18-year-old young man that, hey, we competitive here. But he's had to not just rely on Tennessee talent, because you got to go elsewhere to fill in so many cases, because there's just not enough players in the state of Tennessee.
It's definitely a nationwide effort, and with everything with the portal and how it kind of works, I mean, just those opportunities to play college ball as a true freshman are limited, right? I mean, because a lot of coaches are electing to recruit out of the portal as opposed to recruiting out of high school. So, you know, I think for us, it just increases our ability to grab talent, but also, you know, coming to Vanderbilt, it's like, hey, you know, you're going to play big time football, but also, hey, you know, you're going to get a world class education, and, you know, class is not an option. It's mandatory. Right. But the good thing about it, I think it also makes it a selling point as well, because, you know, I'm biased here, but I don't know a better town to be, the Nashville and the SEC, right? And, to come to a city like Nashville, it's growing quite a bit and a lot of opportunities. And you come get a great education, but also you get to play in the best league there is in college football. So to me, as an alum, I think it's an easy sell, but, you know, I know there's a lot of other factors that play into it. But, with a win like Alabama, we can kind of show recruits in the world. We show in the world, hey, you know what? Like, you know, people can write off Vanderbilt if they want to, right? But hey, we've come in here, we can win big time ball, big time and big time moments. And, you know, that just, you know, and we obviously have done that this year with a big win at Alabama. And, we let Texas slip away too. But, you know, it's definitely, you can come here and get the best of all worlds.
Wesley, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate it. Y'all have a good one. All right, go Doors.
All right. That was our Inside the Tiger Den segment with Wesley Tate, and that was brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show from Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge right after this break. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo, along with Jeff Palermo, we are at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials. Also, too, you can watch all the games that's up on the television right now. And, man, how about Kentucky?
Yeah.
They've gotten in the ring with the Longhorns, and it's 7-7 right now. Man, the first drive, Texas, they got the ball, just went right down the field. And since then, it's been kind of hard sledding for the Longhorns.
Yeah, both teams, I think, scored on fourth down in this game, which is very, very weird. And then how about Kansas up by 10 over Colorado, and Jayhawks are going in. Looks like they're going to score again. So it might be one of those days, Mike, where we've already seen Ole Miss go down, Penn State struggling at in Minneapolis. That's 10-10 now. And
Indiana got brought down.
Indiana got brought down to earth. Brought down to earth really quick. And, boy, they got a tough one next week against Purdue. I don't need to get back on that rant again. But, anyways, in November, a lot of weird stuff starts happening in college football, Mike. The season's long. Bodies are beat up. And this is where you start seeing a lot. I know you get upsets during the course of the year, but things can get really weird in the month of November in college football.
I know they have a lot of people who are in the betting industry think that the game to watch tonight, Texas A&M, Auburn, that might be a trap game for Texas A&M. Yeah. Now, again, that's how they earn their money. But it's funny, if you get a couple of three of them on, two of the three have pointed toward that game to say, watch out. Texas A&M's going to be in a dogfight against Auburn. After what I watched with Auburn, man, I was like, what?
Yeah.
They look lousy. And their quarterback play has not been good. Now, the defense, they sort of hang in there. Mm-hmm. But, man, that would really surprise me.
Well, I could see it. You got Texas next week. There's going to be so much build-up for that game. And maybe that might be part of it. I think Texas just got in. Or did they fumble it? Did they fumble? No, they didn't get in. So Texas just scored a touchdown, and it's 13-7, as long as that play stands. But maybe that might be Texas's issue, too, today. They come down, and they march right down the field. They score on Kentucky, and then it's like, all right, let's start thinking about the Aggies. But there's going to be so much buildup for that game. But when it comes to Texas A&M, you still got a first-year head coach, Mike Elko. That's still a program that has – it's not like A&M's had some decent seasons. They haven't had great seasons.
Couple of years ago, I thought Jimbo and all got jobs.
Yeah.
Because they were one of the top four teams in the country.
Was it the 2020 season?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
But they're not a program that knows how to handle success, right? I mean, they beat LSU, and then they lose the following week against South Carolina. So I could see that. I can see where Auburn goes in there and gives them a little bit of a test in that game. But I still think
you know
A&M's
who said that
win.
Also this morning, thinking about it, Nick Saban.
Oh yeah,
Nick said, "Well, you better watch out when you go to Auburn." Because he said, "Man, I can tell you, there have been some times I've went in with much better teams and I've went out and hadn't been quite as successful as I wanted."
Yeah, no, it's certainly a trap game. Certainly, you start thinking because now the light is at the end of the tunnel, right? I mean, you could see where you're especially in this 12-team playoff now, you see where you can potentially be. All we got to do is win these next two games or whatever, win one of these games or whatever, and we're in. And if you start looking too far ahead, that's when it could become a big trap for you.
Before we finish up this segment, Tre'Davious Green, are you surprised they haven't tried to get him the ball more because of his size mismatch downfield?
Well, I think now when you're only using him basically in the red zone, it becomes pretty obvious that, oh, hey, here comes the big 6'7" guy. Let's make sure we get our best corner on him and lock him up. I think that's kind of part of the problem. He's going to be certainly a guy that I think he's going to have a big impact on this program. I mean, he's just that kind of an athlete. But he's another one where, okay, he's not a tight end because he's not a great blocker.
He's a hybrid.
And he's not – you can stretch him out. You can put him out wide. You can put him out on the boundary. But it's not like he's going to burn by a defensive back. He's got to use his size. So you got another guy that you got to figure out how to use correctly. And if you can – he could be just a big-time player for you in the red zone in particular. Third down and short, big body, get him out there. He's got basketball skills too. Let him use those instincts on the hardwood as far as playing a defender and getting in front of the defender and making sure he's able to make the catch. I think he's going to be an impact player. He should be an impact player before he's done at LSU.
I agree with you. I got a friend of mine. He's always out. Man, you got to get Pimpton the ball more.
Well, they tried. He dropped it.
And what happened? They hit him in a bad place right between his hands, and he dropped his opportunity. We'll be back to
finish it off here in our number two on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Jeff Palermo at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. We're finishing up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Jeff Palermo at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Jeff, first of all, let me thank you for joining us this afternoon, filling in for Herb, and always do a great job, and I appreciate your time and your efforts. And I know you got another fish to fry out in Lake Charles, right?
Yeah, heading out to Lake Charles, McNeese and Lamar, final game of the regular season on the FCS level, so looking forward to that one tonight.
I told this to Rebo. Not that I would want to come out of the retirement to do, but, man, I'd want to recruit for Lamar.
Yeah.
Man, are you in the Beaumont area? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I can find players there, Jeff. I wouldn't have to get out the GPS for that.
No, they got a lot of talent, and they're turning it around. They have their first if Lamar wins tonight, it would be their first back-to-back winning season since the 60s.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.